look a little bit more at Vayikra. This is from Rabbi Friend. He wrote it in 2002, it says. And he talks about the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Jewish prophets in Nevi'im, vis-a-vis the way he would appear to non-Jewish prophets. And I guess Bilam would have been the number one example. And he says, the Medrash quotes Rav Yehuda, and Yehuda says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to the nations of the world only at night, when people are basically separate one from another. It says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to Avimelech in a dream at night, when he was telling him about Sarah. And it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually came to Bilam at night. However, when it comes to our Nevi'im, he goes back to the first Navi, Avram Avinu, for who Yoshev Pesach, I help the Chaim Hayoim. Avram sat at the gate of his tent in the heat of the day, meaning, I guess, the warmest part or the brightest time. And he asks, what's the significance? He says, there's a difference in Yahadus, Judaism, and other religions. And he says, he puts down a disclaimer, I'm not a bookie in Catholicism. But he says, I know this about Catholicism. They have priests and nuns who remain celibate, except when they don't, because they've got a problem, the Catholics, technically, with the notion of humans binding together. It's an avera, a sin, maybe the original sin, right? And therefore, their ideal is that their clergy should be truly close to God, married to the Almighty, right? And they should be away from all type of sexual activity. Well, we know how successful that's been over the years. A Yid does not have Yahadus separate from a natural life that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. Our purpose is to take that which we do as human beings and elevate it to a level of Kedusha, holiness. A person's eating can be done with regard to gathering nourishment to do that which Hashem wants us to do, including earning a living, because that's what God wants us to do. Our business dealings are to make money, to support our families, to support Jewish institutions, etc. And my friend says that we can even, I guess those of us who are on a high enough level, can dedicate our intimate relationships with our spouses to a higher level of Kedusha. Maybe that's having kavana to have kids or whatever, but sincerely, I'm nowhere on that level. The Medrash says, the nations of the world can only view God at night. A goy can only touch spirituality only when disassociated from the rest of mankind, because they've got two rules. They have church, they have state, and the twain shouldn't meet. A Yid is always living in Kedusha and holiness. everything we do is something HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the power to do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kuloi toiv, only good, and therefore whatever he created by definition and by reality is toiv. So everything we do has no relationship whatsoever to something nefarious. The Kotzker Rebbe points out that after Har Sinai, after the greatest day in history, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? They gave the commandment, Shavu li'oy haleichem. Go back to your tents. The Gemara tells us that there had been 3 days when HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked people to refrain from marital relations, to avoid becoming tamei in any way. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I've given you the Torah. You have now all of the rules, commandments, knowledge I want you to have. I want you to go back to living normal lives. I want you to imbue your human lives with spirituality. My friend then turns to the pasuk, which is, it says, when they made a meal offering, some of it went onto the Mizbeach, the altar, and the rest should belong to Aaron and his sons. And he says that the Medrash connects this with a pasuk in Tehillim, which says, there are mighty people who took their portion from your, being HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand. The Medrash identifies, so these people called mighty, right, as the tribe of Levi. This Shevet tribe was so strong, the Medrash says, they took no part, as we know, in Eretz Yisroel. Well, but their chelek was to be the ministers to the Rabboni Shel Olam. He quotes a sefer, a Teres Mordechai, by Rav Mordechai Rogov, Zecher Tzadik Lebracha, says, a person would think that Levium were historically employed in the Beis HaMikdash, and they became the Rebbeim, the teachers of children, and one could say, "Ay Nebuch, that's not a life for a Jewish boy, so to speak. He should have been an engineer building skyscrapers." Yaakov Avinu had 12 sons. 11 of them were in fact successful, talented, accomplished great things, and then there was Levi. And he says, and not only Levi, but there were others, right, who dedicated themselves to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, to be involved in Torah and mitzvos only, right? And the question is, right, those people may have become Rabbanim, Dayanim, teachers, and he says, how do we look at them? He says, if we take our secular world as a standard, anyone with a brain in their head and with ambition goes for the highest profession possible. If you can, be an engineer, design a space shuttle. If you can, be a research neurosurgeon and try to solve the problems cancer provides, etc. Become a computer analyst. Become an expert in protecting the world from this boogeyman called AI. And he said, if you're a little less smart, maybe you go into government and you try to run an agency. But, you know, that's more of a nebbish. But he says, that's the extent of it. He says, nobody wants to be the teacher, the carpenter, etc. We have a strata of what we consider important. And definitely, those who would be involved in the clergy, while we may give lip service to their importance, you know, we always said being a rabbi is not a job for a bright Jewish boy, so to speak. The Medrash is giving us another message. The tribe of Levi were Giborim. They were not Nebuchs. They were mighty. They were talented. They were capable of being the greatest industrialists or manufacturers in their world. They could have replaced, right, Zvulun or Naphtali or any other tribe. But the tribe, and I guess its leaders especially, and then the tribe acquiesced to take on the position of being God's emissaries. They said, if we have a choice between a life devoted to, let's call it secularism and religion, or pure religion, which is required because we have a base, a Migdash, we have a Mishkan, we're going to take up the role of that. And he says, he quotes this Rav who says, how do I know they had success? He says, I look around the world and I see that the great professors want their sons to be scholars. The best doctors would really like their children to walk in their footsteps. Someone who has built a mega empire would like to have a child who can be his successor and take over. He said, B'nai Levi were thrilled that their kids took up their calling. In other words, they had no less nachas from a child who became a Talmud Chacham and taught Torah to everyone in the world. They didn't do what they did because they had no choice. They made a positive, conscious choice. They didn't do it as a default. They did it because they saw true value. And then, as he often does, Rabbi Friend, he says, we've got to appreciate the B'nai Levi followers in our day. And he speaks specifically of those people who devote themselves in chinuch, rebbeim and teachers. He said, I particularly have respect for the elementary school teachers, the ones in grade 1 and 2. They are the ones who mold the children. They take the raw material of children and they can either turn them on or off. The grade 1 teacher and I see this as my own grandson at RJJ, is so skilled and is so loving and gives over with tremendous love the Torah. The kids get it and they turn on. He said, there's no question he could have done something else. He could have been a computer analyst. These people who work in the Clay Kodesh, actually giving to the nation, are to be complimented. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, he said, once said that the president and the janitor both have the keys to open the bank. How do you know which is the president and which is the janitor? By their paychecks. He says, somehow our society shows the value they put into people based on remuneration. And he says, I'm sure as all the Gedolim said, the remuneration that we give to these people is so inadequate. And while we can play lip service to their value, he says it would be really great if the people would wake up and see what these people truly do for Klal Yisrael and value it appropriately. I want to point out one thing about the Megillah and Purim that I saw. I took out the Mishneh Torah yesterday, the Rambam, and if we put things into proper historical context, we know that the Nes of Purim occurred in the 70-year period of the exile in Bavel. And we know that at the end of this 70-year period, the Beis HaMikdash was built. And I never gave thought to, well, when Purim happened, in the years of the Beis HaMikdash, what happened? And the Rambam says, everyone had to read the Megillah. He said, the Avoda, the Kohanim, stopped. Mikra Megillah, telling everyone about this fantastic Nes, about the Koyach of the Ribbono Shel Olam, took precedence, even over the Mikdash. And he says, everyone, of course, therefore, has to do it. Okay. I'm going to try to... I want to get something else. One second. The Gemara tells us about the history in the time of... of the time of the Megillah story, right? Second, he quotes, Rabbi Lazar says, he quotes a pasuk, through laziness a ceiling collapses, and by being idle, your house springs leaks. He says, why did this potential calamity exist? Because of the laziness of the Jews in general, who did not engage in learning Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu became angry, and he said that there should be a wake-up. We need this potential Holocaust to wake up the Jews. He said, quotes a pasuk, Imahu me erkecha. It's talking about valuing something. I promise I'm going to give the value of something to the Beis Hamikdash. And it says, but if I become too poor to give it, right, I do something else. He says, Shenem, right? Makara is Makara b'mayim ali loisav. He says, this is in reference of a Kaddish Baruch Hu who is in the upper chambers. It's a Kaddish Baruch Hu who we basically angered. And he quotes from the following. Ashir HaMalos. Shir HaMalos Lulei Hashem Shehoya Lanu Yoimer Na Yisroel. Ashir, right, to Hashem. Had not Hashem been with us, it says, let Israel declare it now. And he said, you know what this means? Lulei Hashem Shehoya Lanu Bekum Aleinu Adam. Had Hashem not been with us when a man arose. In other words, the primate antagonist was Haman. And while Ahasuerus was not a total dupe and moron, he was involved, Haman drove the anti-Semite bus. And it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu let the Adam, this secondary officer, be the driver of Eloi Melech, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to preclude a king actually acting with his full anger. He says, when the righteous ended up being exalted, that's Mordechai and Esther. And that happened because we had Purim, and he quotes the pasuk that we, one of the ones we read out loud, Va'ir Shushan Tzahola V'Samecha. Shushan became cheerful and glad. And when did that happen? That happened on the day that Mordechai was led through the streets by Haman. When they saw Haman yelling, so should be done to the man, Asher HaMelech Chafetz Bikoroi, who the king wants to give honor. And Chazal tell us that whenever the word Melech appears in the Megillah, it really refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mordechai was being showered by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As the Gadol Hador, who took the effort and the initiative to stop whatever had happened among Klal Yisroel, to awaken the Jews that there was a major problem and tshuva was required. That was Mordechai. And we have another rule given in the Gemara. We start, Vayehi b'nei Achashverosh. And the Gemara says, it means vaihi, woe and mourning. And we're told that this juxtaposition of words, vaihi or vaihi bimei, always indicated a mournful time, the beginning of difficulties for Klal Yisroel, right? And we should be aware that it was a total v'nehepechu. God truly changed the order. We should have been decimated. Instead, we knocked out our enemies. That's part of the power of Purim. And that power of Purim, to knock out our enemies, is something that has happened in history again and again. I think we don't feel it happens often enough. But I think with tomorrow being Tainus Esther, and I know that Rabbi Hauer from the OU put out a request and other Rabbonim that we should daven for all of Klal Yisroel tomorrow, for the matzav that Klal Yisroel's in, both with the war, with the murderers, today's Amalek, and with regards to the rampant anti-Semitism. And we should ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all our hearts for another Ravacha, the peace. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should let the Schus of Purim Yagein Aleinu should shield us and guard us, and we should see again Sosein V'Simcha B'mheira B'Yameinu. Okay, thank you. As I said, tomorrow I am going to be playing a shiur on Purim that I liked. I'm not going to be doing this as a regular thing. I know I played a few minutes once before.